Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of T2RL Talks, our roughly monthly podcast where we look into some of the issues around airline technology and distribution. And this month, we're talking about the market for aggregator services in NDC distribution, which may seem a little bit arcane, but I hope that by the time we're done, things will be very clear. I have with me Ian Luck, who is the President of Distribution at T2RL, and Yuna Huelu, who is our Antipodean representative, also a very well-informed distribution expert based in New Zealand. I am also traveling right now. I'm in Chicago, where the IATA World Passenger Symposium is about to start, and we may possibly just touch on that towards the end of our conversation. But what I'd like to do before we get too deeply into what we've been writing about in our aggregator market report published just recently for subscribers is some definitions, because there's a lot of different beasts running around the technology jungle as regards the new distribution technologies. And I'd like to ask Yuna really to identify the types of technology providers we're going to be talking about during this conversation.
Thanks, Ian. Yes, that's a really good point to clarify. So what we're talking about in the report and in this episode of the podcast today is very much the aggregators. So the aggregators sit in between the airlines and the travel sellers. They are able to gather up content from multiple sources and then make that available to the travel sellers. So on the other side of the aggregators, you've got NDC technology providers who connect to the airline's PSS, for example, and who are able to provide an NDC API. So those are technology providers. On the opposite side of the aggregator, you've also got agency technology, which would be more on the front end, which travel agents can use to power their online booking systems or directly for front-end systems for their travel agency staff. So we're talking about the part in the middle, the aggregators, who are able to gather up the content from multiple airlines, other sources, could be rail, for example, sort of normalize that. They sometimes provide additional services on top of that, and then the travel sellers connect to them to get that content. Where it gets a little bit murky and confusing, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit, is that some of the players in this space do provide the technology to the airlines and also sometimes or often provide technology to the travel sellers on the front-end side. So there's a lot of crossover and it can get a little bit confusing. We'll try and keep it as clear as possible as we go through today.
Okay, thanks for that, Yuna. And I'm glad you touched on that last point because things are not crystal clear and like Lego bricks being stuck together. We definitely have the same enterprises playing in more than one of those categories in some cases.
Is it worth also mentioning, Ian, that when we talk about aggregators in our report, we are still at this point deliberately excluding the GDSs, whereas they are beginning to provide NDC as an option. Those numbers are still, you know, just on the rise. So for now, we are not including them when we speak about aggregators.
Okay, and that is an important point, and I am sure we will come back to it as we go through. So, Ian, we've just published the aggregator report. What are the main sort of takeaways from that report? What's the headline if you were asked to give the sort of 30-second elevator pitch for why you should be excited about what's in the T2RL aggregator report?
Thank you, Ian. Good to talk to everybody again. I guess a few key points. So we have been tracking the aggregator market for 2 or 3 years now. It's a relatively new market. The aggregators themselves are growing quite rapidly from a low base. And they're telling us they're going to grow by, I think it's a factor of 16 times over the next 3 or 4 years. So they're all, as a whole at least, pretty confident that there's a lot of growth opportunity for them. And we're sure there will be growth. Exactly where we end up is an interesting question. So that's a key part where we look at where the aggregators think they're going. We also consider some of the factors that are going to influence that growth. So airline distribution strategies, how they're developing, are the airlines enabling, supporting competition in this kind of space for distribution? What's the role of the GDS is going to be? how might this play out? And those are some of the kind of key themes in the report, and no doubt we might touch on today.
Okay. I too was struck by that projected growth rate when I was involved in reviewing the report before publication. It seems extremely ambitious. Let's put it that way. Am I missing something here, or are the aggregators really in a position to expand at the rate they think at the moment?
I think it is hard to tell. I mean, lots of companies in their early stages would tell you that they have ambitious growth plans, and I mean, almost any company is going to have looking at a positive growth story in most businesses and most industries. And particularly early stage, it's quite hard to tell where growth's going to go. I think we worked out that if they get to the target we're talking about, the overall volume that they would be doing would be roughly somewhere between a quarter and a third of GDS in direct distribution pre-COVID. Is that likely? If they said they were going to be all of GDS distribution, I think most people would definitely look and surprised. If they were only going to be 1% of what the GDS is distributed, you'd probably say that was fairly achievable. Is a quarter to a third possible? It's very, very hard to tell. I think it does depend a lot on airline strategies, the speed the GDS can progress on NDC, the strategies that travel agencies decide to pursue in terms of their technology. I wouldn't like to pick a number and put a lot of money on the outcome. Let's put it that way.
I mean, certainly if they get up to that quarter to a third level, that's going to have a material impact on the fortunes of the GDSs themselves. And wound up with all of that, of course, is the trend we've seen since COVID of a lower proportion of bookings being made in the indirect channels anyway. So on the whole, the growth of aggregators is probably not great news for the GDSs.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. You might want to comment as well after I give some thoughts. It seems to me like, I mean, most people in most industries would say, even through gritted teeth, that they welcome competition. Competition, you know, helps them innovate. It kind of keeps us all healthy. We might welcome competition at the same time as we, you know, try to defend our position and beat competition. That's kind of natural in any kind of market environment. It does seem to be that there's more competition in this space than there was 10 years ago, in the sense of, you know, how travel agencies make bookings. We see that although NDC is still relatively small compared to GDS distribution, it's single digit, I think we believe, as part of overall distribution. It is growing. There is a trend where a number of airlines are implementing NDC. A lot of the airlines that have seen growth in NDC have done that mainly on the back of direct connections and NDC aggregators rather than the GDSs so far. You know, we hear from Luis Maroto at Amadeus, and I think the other GDSs would also say that they're making progress on NDC and that they're going to probably see more volume coming. You know, we also hear that they also see challenges still in the NDC standard, and now, there's a hint of caution on that. So it is difficult to tell. It does seem like there will be an impact and a challenge. We also hear from a lot of travel agencies that say the GDS is still their preferred choice for distribution. And so, you know, does that mean that over the next few years, as the GDSs bring NDC content to market, that will be the natural home? It is hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly hear travel agencies say that they want to continue to have the GDS as their primary source, or maybe even their exclusive source. But I think there is beginning to be some frustration that the GDSs are not moving as fast as some of the specialist aggregators. One of the issues is the one that you mentioned, which is standardization. NDC, I've heard people say, is about the least standard in the history of standards. There is so much latitude within the NDC standard that every implementation is considered to be unique. And that doesn't seem to me to be a very good recipe for rapid expansion. And in particular, we've got a version of the standard, the 21.3 version of the standard, which was introduced to some level of fanfare to say, this is the standard, this is the one that we're all going to converge upon. And yet hardly anyone has implemented it yet. including the GDSs.
21.3 years coming this year. We've seen SAS have implemented 21.3. Amadeus is connected. We know that Sabre's got a deal with SAS. TAP's recently implemented 21.3, you know, with both Altea, Amadeus Altea carriers, that NDC API technology provider part that Una talked about rather than the aggregation part, but there are aggregators connected at that level. I think we've heard that Farelogix is, Xellia is going to be upgrading their connection to 21.3, Farelogix being currently the largest NDC API provider by volume, the, you know, the one that was established with a lot of the early leaders like American, Lufthansa, Qantas, Emirates, United, some of those carriers that had a lot of NDC volume a few years ago. So it does seem like 21.3 is, it's what, a couple of years ago. It's taking a bit of time, but I feel like next year, does that mean 3 years is a long time to get from 21 to 24? Feel like next year there will be quite a lot of 21.3 volume. And I think that will be a big test, you're right, to see whether we finally have a standard that is seen to be a standard.
One of the key points we mentioned in the report, and which really came across clearly in our conference last month in London as well, is around picking your poison. And we've spoken about this before, but whereas EDIFACT standards are going to be constrained and there's not a lot of potential for them to evolve further, at least with NDC, we know that the technology can then go somewhere. And when it comes to standardization, yes, there are absolutely differences in how airlines are implementing NDC, but a lot of this is still new, right? And at the end of the day, people are going to make mistakes and correct those as they see what works and what doesn't. So it's an evolution. It doesn't happen overnight, for sure. It's taking a while. But I think that 21.3 will probably provide a bit more of a level playing field in terms of implementations. It'll definitely provide way more capabilities in terms of servicing, which a lot of travel sellers have been waiting for, and also airlines. And I think there is really the potential for things to start becoming way more useful in terms of implementations, and that gives you the speed to market.
Okay. In conversations we've had with travel sellers, the biggest complaint or the biggest challenge that's been reported to us is the lack of consistency in the different NDC implementations. And I just wonder, what role do aggregators have in maybe addressing some of that stuff? Are the aggregators in a position to insulate maybe some of the smaller travel sellers who don't have deep IT capabilities from that inconsistency? Is that something we've seen in the market?
Absolutely. And from what we hear from travel sellers that have been working with aggregators for some time to get content, particularly from LCCs, that's not new, right? It's been something that's been done for years. The aggregators have learned over the years to help normalize that content, and they tend to work in a way that's more nimble. They're very technology savvy. So they are adding value in some cases by making that content more consumable for the travel sellers. They're also able to bring content in from multiple sources, such as rail, LCCs, traditional or hybrid carriers. And in some cases, as we mentioned in the report, they can also provide your traditional GDS content. So just by that, that's a huge advantage. I can't imagine a scenario in the future where one of the traditional legacy GDSs would provide content that is sourced from one of its competitors. So the access to content is going to be really important for travel sellers, because we will see airlines implementing distribution strategies where there are content differences from one source to another. And being able to get that from one pipe where the aggregator actually helps you consume what's best for your business model is going to be a huge value add, I think.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting that there are aggregators who are even aggregating in GDS content. And the one that comes immediately to my mind is Air Gateway, but I'm sure that it's not the only one that's working that way. And in a way, that takes us to the next level of what an aggregator can do. And I'm going to show my age now and talk about for a moment about multi-access systems, which existed way back in the 1970s into the early 1980s, certainly in Europe, systems like Travicom and Traviswiss, where travel agencies had the ability to choose which airline they wanted to work with. And the multi-access provider gave them a front end that would give them a common language to talk to all those different systems. I feel that that's kind of where we are with aggregators today with NDC, in that they are providing access to the NDC content from lots of different airlines, but they're not really integrating it in a single display. The travel seller has to say, okay, I want to look at British Airways NDC content. I want to look at American's NDC content now. Am I sort of denigrating them too much here?
I think it does vary, but I think some of them are providing pretty strong products now. We've seen some of the, I wouldn't like to pick out individuals, but we have seen some of the aggregators who've got pretty good desktops. They've got feeds to back office solutions. They can provide multi-airline content in one place. They may not have 400 airlines or however many the GDSs have. So they may not have quite the reach that an Amadeus or a Sabre or a Travelport would have. But there are aggregators that have got more than 50 airlines in NDC. They've got low-cost carrier content. They've got rail and other things, as Yunus said, and they can bring that together in one display. And as you said, some of them actually can bring GDS content in as well. And so they can really become good solutions for agencies. Now, there's still a lot of agencies that do use the GDS PNR as a critical part of their infrastructure. PNRs and tickets drive a lot of their solutions and some of their quality control, their mid-office, back-office, audit, other things are all connected. And so it is not the case that any agency could just use an NDC aggregator and it would be fine and without a problem. And they've probably made most progress in the OTA space, but we are seeing a number become quite polished providers, I think, to offline agencies as well as OTAs now.
I think your comparison works in terms of the problem they're trying to solve, but the technology on which they're now solving that problem is completely different and way more nimble in terms of what it can do. And the aggregators that we mentioned in the report, in terms of their ways of working, they're very solutions focused. They've been finding ways to provide LCC content with, you know, very non-homogeneous ways of working for LCCs. Some are ticketless, some are not, for years now. So they're very good at finding solutions to make it as consumable as possible for the travel seller. And the technology is very different to your scenario, your example, Ian.
Oh, I do understand that. We're talking about a 40-year time gap when the world of technology has changed enormously. But thinking about it kind of architecturally in a way,
yes.
There's some commonality between the old idea of multi-access systems and where we are today. Do you think we'll ever see a scenario where a travel seller could just say, no, I don't need a GDS anymore. I can get everything I need from an NDC aggregator or an aggregator. As someone just said, they're aggregating more than just airline NDC content in many cases.
I think absolutely. I think that even today, travel sellers need to consider what's best for their business model going forward. So in some cases where they sell, a vast majority of their content comes from maybe one or two home carriers. They may be considering direct connects for that content and just working with an aggregator or maybe two aggregators for the additional content they require. Don't forget that they're also getting hotel content, which can be via API today. It doesn't need to go via the GDS. There are ways in which they can accomplish that. It really depends on the business model. And what that means is that it actually opens up the possibility for new types of travel sellers to emerge, I believe, who approach things a little bit differently than the travel agency from the past or the OTA from the last 20 years. There are different ways of doing things today that the technology supports.
And that's very much a proposition from someone like Duffel, for example, who really are going big on this idea that there will be new types of travel seller and maybe companies that just want to do a little bit of travel selling on the side from their mainstream business and so on. And that is very much facilitated by the technology that's becoming available now.
Yeah, I think that's right. There are some aggregators who are more traditional aggregators in a way, who are very aimed at the traditional travel sellers. They're providing agency desktops. They're bringing in GDS content. They're, you know, a lot of them are ex airline or ex GDS people behind them in many cases. Some of them even been acquired by some of the large key travel agencies. There's a few out there now that have become very closely intertwined because they're majority owned by certain travel sellers. So there are some that are very close to a more traditional kind of GDS role. There are certainly others like Duffel who seem to be kind of trying to drive not so much targeting existing travel sellers as trying to create new opportunities for people to sell travel. So it's interesting to see. And I think we're tracking best part of 30 in our report. And there are some that are very regionally focused, some that are very focused on OTA, some that have got quite a corporate focus. There's quite a lot of difference. And I think that's, I guess, one of the things that NDC was supposed to do was to create opportunities for innovation and new businesses and competition in the aggregation space. So some of these companies seem like they're unlikely to get to the size of a large GDS, but they've got a market niche that's working for that.
So Ian's point actually speaks to some of that huge growth forecast. So with some of the aggregators have come in quite specialist or niche markets or, you know, a very specific geographical region, a lot of them have plans to either expand into different types of business or expand geographically. So that explains some of the forecast. And I think what comes to mind for the airlines that are listening is, you know, how do you make sense of all of this? It can be incredibly confusing if you don't know where to start, or maybe you have already started and you're working with a couple of aggregators. What's next? Because they are so different and they do add value in different ways, and it can be quite daunting to figure out which ones to work with. And that's where we help our airline customers with making sense of that. So not only do we track this in the report, but we also work with airlines on a one-on-one basis to run a process through which they can select the aggregators that are most suited to work for that with them, and then advise them on the commercials, etc., for those connections. But it is really daunting. And as an airline, you don't need to work with everybody. You have to be selective. You have to choose who's best suited to your strategy and start there and potentially add more over the years. But it's not a case of needing to work with everybody.
There's a couple of thoughts there that I want to just explore a little more deeply. One is this idea that there will be different types of aggregators operating in different niches, different geographies, different places. In the end, we could end up in a world with hundreds of aggregators. I would maintain that's unsustainable until we have a standard that is actually a standard and that is really something approaching plug and play. Because when every connection to an aggregator is an IT project, requiring management and testing and so on and so on and so on, it's not really feasible for even the biggest airline to want to deal with hundreds of aggregators. So we do need to see more progress towards real standardization. And that then throws up the questions as, okay, how can we achieve that? And there's been some talk of creating a sort of standard industry validation for NDC connections. And then the question is, who would do that? Who would be responsible for doing that? So I think there's still a lot of unanswered questions around that move to standardization and that move to an ability to work with whichever aggregators suit your business purposes.
Yeah, I think that's right. We hear from most people in the chain seem to still feel that there's work to do. As we say, we're kind of waiting to see how all the NDC implementations to 21.3 come out, because there is quite a lot of hope that will help. But we haven't really tested that fully yet. I think it's still a little early to see. It'll be interesting to see whether in 5 years do some of these aggregators come together and they, you know, they merge and they kind of cooperate because they're in different groups? Or do we end up with more of them becoming connected to specific agencies, as we've seen that's happened to a few of the travel aggregates that are out there, it is a bit difficult to tell. Will we have hundreds? Will we have 30 still? We do see quite a few airlines that have got connections to 10 or 20 or more. And, you know, the part of the kind of vision for NDC is it's an open standard and you publish your APIs and to some extent anybody can connect. And it's not plug and play quite yet, but we are seeing quite a few airlines that have got fairly large number of aggregators. Often perhaps they connected 5 or 6 key ones in the first year or so that were relevant to their geography. And then over time that they've added more. So it will be interesting to see, do we have double digit, triple digit? How many aggregators will people work with? It's an interesting thing to tell.
Yeah, and then the other thread that I picked up from what Una was saying a moment ago is commercial models. Are we going to see more innovative commercial models for providing these services? In broad terms, with the GDSs, the airline pays to be distributed. With the aggregators we have today, typically the agency pays to gain access. Is that always going to be the case? Are those going to be just two simple choices? Or do you think we're going to see innovation in the sort of commercial models that aggregators will bring into the market?
I think we are seeing some innovation. Some of it depends on the airlines. So we have seen some public cases of airlines talking about the fact that they're paying the agency some incentive that they can use to fund the aggregator. American famously did that. Canada has that currently.
And of course, we saw SAS with their wholesale model that they floated and then backed away from.
Yeah. So we've seen there are some models in place where airlines are sort of trying to drive level playing fields. We've also seen the big three European groups agree to provide NDC content via GDSs, but put a small surcharge on that NDC content. So the aggregators may have a different commercial model with the airline, but there's still some difference in the content. They still have better content in a way. How exactly that plays out will also be very interesting to see as to whether that supports their growth, or do travel agencies say it's 2 or 3 euros and I'm going to stick with my GDS. So I think it'll be very interesting. It'll also be interesting to see if one or two of the aggregators got really large, would they say, well, those guys get paid by you. I feel like, what's the difference? You know, I'm providing lots of bookings and lots of reach for you, so I should be paid as well. Will that happen? That is perfectly possible scenario that we could imagine as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic two-sided market, isn't it, with opportunities on both sides of the market. And well, again, I'm going to show my age because I was around at the start of Galileo back in the late 80s. And at that time, agencies paid to use Galileo. The idea that eventually the GDS would become a source of revenue to the agencies didn't really emerge until well into the 1990s. And in the beginning, agencies paid for access, just the same way as they do today with NDC aggregators.
Interesting. What goes around comes around.
Yep.
I can't help feeling that the longer I spend in the industry, the more things look familiar as they emerge as brand new ideas.
Yeah.
Okay, another point that you mentioned, I think, Ian, apologies if it was you and not you, but we're seeing a degree of vertical integration with the big travel sellers and NDC mm-hmm. aggregators and maybe technology providers all kind of having a stake in each other or being owned outright. Do you think that's a trend that we're going to see continue?
I think so. I mean, you know, historically we had things like OTAs being owned by GDSs in the past. So it's not new that there are kind of ownership relationships between.
Yeah. And of course, Orbitz was owned by a bunch of airlines.
Anapodo, exactly. Yes. Yeah, so you're right. It is interesting with particularly the TP Connects Flight Center relationship. A lot of technology work there from what we understand. eTraveli and TripStack. Trip.com, Travel Fusion, where Travel Fusion seems to be more independent of Trip.com, seems to be some relationship, but functioning more separately than either of those other two examples, perhaps. Does seem to be that there will be some of these companies will be working for an agency, providing services to other agencies, providing services to airlines. In some of those cases, TP Connects is one where they're an NDC API provider. Going back to Yuna's descriptions at the beginning, they're an NDC API provider. They provide a portal to Singapore and Finnair. They provide technology services to Flight Center. They provide aggregation services. So, I mean, it's not new. Amadeus, Sabre, and Travelport have all done all sorts of combinations of those things as well. So it's kind of not new in a way. But
I mean, certainly Amadeus and Sabre, Travelport a little bit less so because they're not a big PSS provider. But then the other joker in the pack, of course, will be TravelSky eventually, because, you know, TravelSky in a way is a special case because it is primarily serving the market in China. It doesn't have a lot of interest outside yet, although some of its acquisitions in recent times suggest that, you know, it will want to move out from its stronghold market over time. So my feeling is that we could be in for a few years of flux within the market and new configurations being established and new ways of working and being trialed. And maybe the market that we see in 5-7 years' time might look really quite different.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. That sounds like a highly probable scenario.
I certainly think it's more uncertain. If I go back kind of 10 years and looking at distribution in the early 2010s, as an airline, certainly a sort of full service carrier type, your indirect bookings went through the GDSs and NDC was something on the horizon, but you probably wouldn't have imagined then that you might have 30 different ways for your content to get to market. That seemed unlikely sort of in the early 2010s. Maybe some people saw that vision. So I definitely think there's more change now than there's been for a while. And there's a lot of uncertainty about whether what the market will look like in future. The GDSs who are strong will, I'm sure, will still be key players. I think there will be some key aggregators that are strong. But exactly where it ends up, it's uncertain, which is kind of good and interesting for, you know, there's innovation and opportunity, I think.
Well, it's certainly good. It's certainly good for people like us who spend our time trying to understand what's happening in the market and helping others to understand it. Another thing I would just throw into the conversation as we wind towards the end of this session is airlines moving to offer, order, settle, deliver, and airlines looking at offer management as a distinct thing that is the center of their kind of commercial relationship with the market. And will we get to the point where offers are standard across all channels, you know, the whole omni-channel idea, and the paths to the market, whether it's through NDC, whether it's through the GDS, whether it's through websites, whether it's through, I don't know, tin cans and wet string, become secondary to that offer management thing that's going on in the middle. To me, that's a kind of an attractive model because it solves quite a lot of problems of fragmentation that airlines have today in dealing with their different market segments and so on. But is it realistic? And if so, on what sort of timescale?
I think the vision fits with the direction a lot of airlines are going. NDC does enable you, and I think there's a number of airlines that are in this position already, to say to an agency, we'll agree the content between us. There's all this interesting published content of ancillaries and dynamic pricing and so on. And then we can also agree, as we've done in the past, whether you've got IT fares or corporate fares or other things. And the airline can say it's all available in the API and the content in the API is the same. Doesn't matter whether you go through Amadeus, Sabre, Travelport, one of 27 NDC aggregators, you build a direct connection, you use the portal, it will be the same. You know, you log in with your IATA or your accreditation and you can get the content however you like. I think we're heading in that direction already. Getting it to be really seamless and, you know, you can plug and play and you could use anybody quickly and there's still not a lot of the complexity we hear about, well, sometimes this doesn't work or, you know, this connection's too slow or there's too, you know, all of the things that we know that we hear need to be solved, I think is still out there. But I think that is the vision. And if you believe competition's good and we should be open to new entrants, you may still have large players, of course, and it's true in most industries. But if you believe it's good to enable innovation and competition, I think it is an attractive model.
But back to the previous point of what this means for the future market for aggregators, if that is indeed how things play out, it still offers huge opportunities for the aggregators. The offer side may go that path. You've still got a huge amount of real business problems that need to be solved on the order management side, where the aggregators can play a huge part, and that will offer opportunities for some of them. There are other more pressing issues as well, where they can potentially play a role, such as virtual interlining and payments, which typically are quite difficult for the travel sellers. And I think those that will do well are those that are able to be agile, really harness the new technology, innovate and solve true problems and the future problems that will come with offer, order, settle, deliver.
I would just add to that list also the ones that can build a critical mass of business that will bring in revenues that which will allow them to finance development. And
absolutely. And
whilst there may be a very large number of aggregators at some point, we do, I think, believe that there will be some degree of consolidation and some degree of concentration to create those entities that can do that kind of development and innovation that you're talking about there. You know, in an ideal world, there'll also be room for the niche players. And, you know, I hope as an industry, we have the wit to set things up such that there is still an opportunity for niche players to provide a service that you know, no one else is doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
That's the aggregator market that we have started to track formally. We've been looking at it informally for quite some time, but we're going to take a formal look at it now every year. We've just published the first aggregator report, which is available to subscribers at t2rl.net, as are all our other reports. I think on that note, I'd like to wrap up this conversation. So with that, I'd like to thank Ian. I'd like to thank Una. And I'd like to thank you for listening. And I'd like to ask you to join us again next month for the next edition of T2RL Talks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ian.